This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1. Today in the studio we have Bernadine Kennedy Kent from the organization PASS, Parent Advocates for Students in School.
Hello, I'm Bernadine Kennedy Kent, and it's nice to be here today on Fight Back Radio.
Great.
All right, key issue, the 40th anniversary issue of the Free Press recently came out here at the end of the year, and there was an article in there by you and James Whitaker, and it deals with some very provocative concepts with a very important program, the No Child Left Behind program, which was one of the highlights of the Bush administration, really based on a premise in research that indicates that by the third grade, we can predict with 80% accuracy who will drop out of schools. And not shockingly, the people that drop out of schools are those that are two grades behind in basic reading, for the most part. So this program was designed to take disadvantaged kids who were behind and provide them tutors. Is the program doing its job, Bernadine?
No, the program is not doing its job, and mainly because the parents aren't aware that there is any tutoring program that is available to them where they can choose their own tutors for their children if they need help in raising their academic levels in math, reading, science, social studies, and writing, which are the subjects that they are tested on and which determine whether a school becomes a failing school or not.
So a lot of this, too, has to do with grading and showing achievement is based on a standardized test as well.
Yes, it's based on a standardized test. And I honestly believe that, and you're talking about the Bush administration, I honestly believe that No Child Left Behind came in as something that would help businesses that were in the educational field, such as textbook industries. I believe that they knew that their textbooks would no longer be needed, so they had to come up with another way to make money, and No Child Left Behind was perfect because then you could put out all types of materials to aid children, as they say, in closing the achievement gap by making these standardized tests.
So when I was a kid, we learned from textbooks, and we also had literature classes. We read just books. Are you telling me that now that kids don't read out of textbooks? Are they just studying for the test, or what's going on?
Well, they still have textbooks, but the problem with textbook, there's absolutely no way with the information age that you can put everything in a textbook anymore.
Okay.
And so textbooks are becoming obsolete and were becoming obsolete.
Okay. So does that mean that kids are using computers more, but they're reading out of books less?
Not the urban children. Okay. They still are forcing them to have books. They're still ordering books from the same book companies. So they do not get that increased opportunity to be part of that information age and use computers. Some schools have no computers at all. Some kids never touch a computer the whole day, at least in Columbus City schools, in the urban schools.
So at the crux of your argument, it's a couple things. Number one, you're suggesting perhaps the vendors are seeing this as a way to rip off the federal money, and that the rates really are well above what the market would bear.
Correct. The one part that we focused in on, because it's very hard to focus in on all the money that No Child Left Behind has coming down. It's billions and billions of dollars. And so what we tried to do as Parent Advocates for Students in School, we attempted to focus in on just the free tutoring program, which is also referred to as Supplemental Educational Services. That is a program in which, as I said before, the parents would have an opportunity to get tutoring for their children that normally they wouldn't have the opportunity to have because they would not be able to afford it. The problem became if you are a failing school, that that tutoring cannot take place in a failing school. So then they were to hire outside businesses, nonprofit and profit, churches and so forth, to actually do the tutoring.
So it sounds like a bureaucratic mess.
Yes, a bureaucratic mess.
Bureaucratic mess and expensive, and it's exploitable.
Very, very exploitable.
Well, don't they just go out and get the best providers? Is that what you found? Stellar reputations, better business
competition.
Bureau?
Competition. Right. Competition, nurturing, quality.
Well, what have you what have you found when you've looked at these companies?
Well, it's very interesting that I started looking at these companies in 2005, and what I found first, Ohio Department of Education is the entity that is supposed to go out, advertise, pull in tutoring companies, and they're supposed to determine whether they're going to be effective, whether they've done things for at least 3 years that have been effective with children, and then they put them on this list as approved providers. When I first looked at it, what shocked me about this list is that the tutoring companies were from California, Texas, Georgia, Michigan, Indiana, almost a third of them, which I thought, well, why would we use companies from California so early on in the program? And then I started calling some of the numbers. They were turned off. When I called Columbia, Maryland, a company answered the phone and said they don't have no idea what I'm talking about. So it became very disturbing, and that's when I began to look at these companies closer.
And a lot of this sounds like front companies.
Correct.
Because the companies, you were saying that a lot of them were from out of state, and that you contacted them, and their contact information was totally bogus.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is a familiar pattern we found occasionally with Medicaid. A lot of federal dollars there, and what happens is these providers come out and they bill the government, and you find out that they really don't provide the services and they really don't see patients. So there's a tremendous battle going on in the Medicaid funding with essentially organized crime. Are you saying that there's similar patterns maybe at play here?
Oh, definitely similar patterns at play here. As I said, the names of some of the companies were ridiculous. One was called Paramount Housing and Development. I don't know why any parent would choose a company called Paramount Housing and Development to be a tutor for their child in English and math.
It doesn't sound like an educational service.
At all.
It doesn't sound like a company that's geared towards educating kids.
But what about Dog?
Dog is actually the one
DAWG.
Dog International at that. He's the actual one in 2006 that really made us step up our investigation into the providers, because Dog walked up to the board at the board meeting to present
the Columbus Board of Education.
Yes. On August 1st, he went to a board meeting, and when he walked up there, he immediately began to say that he had basically saying he hadn't gotten all his money. And Dog was just approved in April 2006, and the program of the tutoring ended May 2006, so he would have been only tutoring at the most maybe a month and a half.
And he's asking like for $500,000 or something. How much was he asking for?
Well,
when
he first went up there, he said he had received $15,000. They had just asked him for a number through an email. He said, you know, I went and filled out all my paperwork, and then you know, I called and you said, well, send me a number through an email, and I sent you the number 30. You gave me $15,000, but the number 30 times the number of students and the amount that each student is allotted for each year, he's saying, well, you didn't give me all my money.
So what was 30? That was the number of...
That was the number of students that he sent through the email that he said he had.
Okay.
However, we were shocked. We were waiting for someone to say, well, that's not how you get paid. That's not how the process works.
Right.
Because
you sent them a number in an email, and that was it.
Correct.
He didn't fill out form number XYZ123.
Right. He had to send in invoices.
Okay.
And part of those invoices had to be the students, the hours that they were attended,
okay.
the parent's signature. There was certain okay. forms that he had to put in place in order for him to get paid.
Okay.
And then that's once a month. So for okay. him to stand up there and say that he received the $15,000 just by sending an email was shocking enough.
Yeah. So he should have been probably submitting some kind of complex documentation detailing who the students were and how much time he was spending, who was tutoring them. But instead, he sent an email with the number of children that he was supposedly tutoring without any proof, really.
Correct.
Just his word, and that was it.
Correct.
Just on his word in email.
And that was disturbing enough,
right.
But Dog went on to say that he had bad credit. One
okay.
of the federal statutes with the No Child Left Behind requires any tutoring provider that is approved by the Ohio Department of Education must be financially sound. He was telling you that he was not financially sound.
Okay.
Well, what was also shocking was that he had stated that he had talked to Terry Boyd, who was president of the board at the time. He stated that he had talked to him right before he came down for the meeting, and Terry Boyd said, well, it looks like you did everything that you were supposed to do.
Okay.
Talk to me after the meeting. Well, we didn't find out until this year when we did a records request and got the canceled checks for Dog. Right after Dog left that meeting August 1st, he was cut a check for another $51,000.
And that's real odd. I mean, for this president of the board who doesn't micromanage, the board oversees essentially policy and procedure. Why, whenever I see somebody in policy and procedure on a board, particularly a school board, micromanaging checks, I think they ought to be investigated. I think something's wrong, you know, and we got a long tradition in Youngstown. You're talking payola. So people need, and you've got this on tape, don't you?
Correct. In fact, we're the only ones that had it on tape. It was not taped because the board president asked them to turn off the camera right before Dog spoke.
So the board president asked the cameras be turned off as he negotiated from the board table with someone demanding money. Outrageous. There needs to be a criminal investigation.
This is Fight Back on WCRS 98.3
102.1. So, let's go back and take a look at this. You've got companies. How much are they charging? Some outrageous rate? 15, 20 bucks an hour?
Well, what was shocking about Dog, and which we just found out again, this year from the public records request, one of those being from the Ohio Department of Education. When Dog filled out his application, he said that his cost per hour was going to be $25. He charged the district $70 an hour.
Well, there's a little profit there then.
Quite a bit of profit. And the other thing about him getting that $51,000 check was that he got it on the 8th. He cashed it on the 11th. However, the board didn't approve it until the 14th.
Well, how could he cash a check or get a check cut to him that the board hadn't approved? Isn't the board required to approve expenditures?
Yes. In fact, it's quite shocking because on the paper on which he was approved for the $51,000, it actually has a paragraph right at the top that says, must be approved by the board.
Well, how's the board explain that?
They haven't yet. Although they are aware of it, that is a complaint that we have been making, they have not responded to that.
Okay.
So, how much an hour? For example, I'm a professor at Columbus State. This is my 24th year. I have a PhD and a JD. When I teach overload, or if I tutored students or have independent studies, I would get paid $46.20 an hour. And what you're saying is they're billing out $70 an hour?
They're billing out $70 an hour to tutor students in basic reading and math, because the majority of the students that they tutor are elementary and middle school students.
Okay. I think you got a quote there. Maybe we can play it at this time. Didn't you ask somebody in the Department of Education about those rates?
Correct. Actually, I asked the Supplemental Educational Services Director, Joyce Hackett, on video, because we were doing a records request with her, and I specifically said, I don't understand why they are able to charge $70, $80, $90 an hour. It appears outrageous, because on their application itself, it says that they're going to charge at the fair market value. That is not the fair market value for tutoring.
All right, so let's take a listen and see what the response was from Ms. Hackett.
I thought that rates had to be at the going price around the... They didn't make it anything.
It has to be within, I can't remember the terminology, but reasonable. You know, it's
reasonable and what?
Not in line with.
In line with, like if I were to purchase something, the price has to be in line with what is.
So they all get together and charge $70, $80, $90 an hour.
Because when I was asking about tutors that are outside of SES, they're only charging the most $30, you know, I mean. $20.
Well, they're not charging the parents now. They're billing the school district for those outrageous hours.
Oh.
That's why they submit the claim for consultant. We're just really funneling the NCLB money back to them. They're not charging parents those rates.
Yeah, I understand that, but because they make them like $90 to $100, that lessens the hours that the parent can have.
That's the outrageous part of it all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we can't control that.
Right.
It seems to me like there should be some kind of...
I agree. We should be able to set it no more than $30 an hour.
Well,
something reasonable. It's outrageous. I think the most we have maybe is $90.
All right. This is Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell-Newton on Fight Back. And Bernadine Kennedy Kent is our guest. And... Bernadine, what's going on in this video here? We just explain it to us for a second.
Yes, we were doing a records request, and as I said, the Supplemental Educational Services Director for Columbus Public Schools, who is really responsible for these tutoring companies and ensuring that the process goes smoothly.
Okay. What's her name?
Her name is Joyce Hackett.
Okay.
When I questioned her, as you can see on the video, about why they are charging $70, $80, $90, she basically said that it was because they all got together and charged this amount, $70, $80, $90.
Right.
She herself said it was outrageous, and I think what struck me is that she felt she had no control, even though here she is, the SAS director, saying the most they should be charging is $30. This is outrageous.
So
it lessens the hours for the students.
It looks like she's either admitting to or kind of pointing the finger to a kind of price fixing. She's basically saying, hey, this is price fixing. They get together and agree that they're going to charge $70 or $90. Is that what she was saying?
That's basically what she was saying. And it looks like it would be interesting to know when this began, because now it's nationwide, these types of prices.
Okay.
But could they get away with this if the board was doing its job and they were following procedures? I mean, where is the paperwork? Have you found the paperwork documenting that the board signed off on these millions of dollars?
No, actually, I did not find the paperwork, and that was what I was looking for as to when the board approved this. And in actuality, the general counsel for the head counsel for the board and also the auditor for the board had stated in August that the board approved it and these payments. Then in September or October, they decided that the board didn't approve it, which is very disturbing to me because these purchase orders were multi-million dollar purchase orders. The last year's was $6.4 million purchase order. And you will see on the article on the Free Press, there are some videos on the internet. I asked the assistant treasurer, I don't understand, why would the board not have to approve $6.4 million? And he basically said they don't have to approve it. These are blanket purchase orders. There are no specific vendors. And even the state auditor, you know, he's looking at us right now, and he must think it's all right. But then he backed up and said, well, they really didn't say it was all right.
Well, I could see them putting this money into an account in a lump sum, but wouldn't the board have to approve every specific vendor? So you've put the money here, now the money's coming out, and you're paying a vendor. Doesn't the board have to approve it then?
Well, actually, that was what was shocking about the assistant treasurer saying that the board did not have to approve these purchase orders because they put out a treasurer's handbook. And the treasurer's handbook, which is also in the article, has a grid. And the grid specifically tells you what exactly you have to do in order to approve purchase orders over $25,000, purchase orders over $100,000.
But to be fair, they weren't saying over $1 million.
Well, actually,
they were just too big to be approved.
That must be it. They were too big to be approved. But there was about seven things that had to be done. And really, as Bob is kind of alluding to, if the board had put in those processes, which means it has to go through a division review, part of division and review is making sure that the public taxpayers get the best value for whatever is purchased, and that didn't happen, and then the board didn't approve it. So no wonder they felt all right about raising their prices to $70, $80, $90 an hour.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Some of these prices, $70, $90 an hour for tutoring services, if I was going to hire a tutor, I would expect to pay somebody $25 an hour, maybe a retired teacher or something like that. And I would expect to pay them only $25 an hour. But they're charging $70 an hour. And how much were they actually paying the tutors? And who were the tutors in this program? Do you know about those demographics?
One of the complaints, and it was written in the dispatch, where a parent was complaining because one of the tutors was saying that you can tutor your own child and I'll give you $10 an hour. They've asked high school students to tutor for $10 an hour. The majority of the tutors that I've talked to that work for these providers have only gotten $10 an hour.
Okay, and they're high school students, and did you say in some cases they're offering to pay $10 to the parents themselves?
Correct.
And so are they scraping in $60, $60, $80 an hour of overhead? That seems like a lot of overhead if I'm teaching my own kid.
Right, you don't even need a space. You can just do it right in your own house.
Yeah, do it in the living room with the TV on.
But these kids are already behind, which would indicate perhaps the parents don't have the education or parenting skills to keep the child up to the proper rate. So why would you be hiring the people in part that were responsible for some of the deficiency?
Well, and that's the thing. I think someone had talked about Club Z. What they were also doing was this provider was out of Florida.
Okay, and I have a question about Club
Z. They were coming to the parents' home.
Was there some hip-hop involved here?
And if you come to the parents' home, you have absolutely almost no overhead. And they're charging $55.80. I don't know where they're getting the 80 cent from, but $55.80, and in one state, $65. And they come to the parents' home, supposedly.
Okay, so I guess what I'm curious about, what I'm trying to figure out, and I'm sure this sort of the quest that you're on too, to find out who's behind all of this. Like, what's really going on here? Is it the school board that's corrupt, or are they just inefficient and inept, that they're allowing this to happen? I mean, if I was the government, I'd probably set prices at $30 an hour for a tutor, have it go directly to the tutor. But it seems like somebody's really cashing out on this. And so, is there a problem with the school board or the government cashing out on this, or is it corporations or private companies, shell companies. What's really going on here?
And that's why we needed the board to investigate it, because when I talked to Gary Baker, who is one of the board members, he specifically said, oh, well, this is a problem if we did not approve these payments to the provider.
Okay.
And Hanifa Kamban, another board member who just became a board member in January, along with Mike Wiles, at least Hanifa was speaking for Mike Wiles, she specifically said on tape that this is criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, she admits that there's some criminal acts. This is big. This is criminal. For a board member to admit that it's criminal and then do absolutely no investigation, that just tells me we have no one controlling or monitoring this money.
Well, we have a tape of that. Why don't we listen to that?
Illegal? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So, while we're talking about how criminal it is, one of the companies that you mentioned was Club Z, and just this like sets off red flags for me as a feminist. It sounds like a strip club. It just really concerns me that there's so little oversight of these companies and that there's such a high rate of child trafficking and trafficking in young girls. And Club Z, it just, for me, that just kind of makes a connection. I don't know if there's anything to that, but
I
would like to hear your opinion on that.
I totally agree with you, because when I was going through the numbers, because you could do the reverse number process, and when I reversed one of the numbers, it went to a Girl Friday club. And that was very, very disturbing.
Okay.
Very, very disturbing.
Yeah, that sounds
very
questionable.
Well, here's what's disturbing, is that in order to be a teacher, right, and have access to a kid, you got to go to college, you got to be licensed, they have to do a heavy background check. What's up with the tutors? Who are these tutors? If we don't even know who the companies are, and they got names like Club Z
and Dog
or
International,
Dog, you know, how do we know they're not dogging people out? Who are they? Why aren't they licensed? What are their background checks? And why are they picking up such big money? Last word, Kevin.
I believe there. I think you might have touched on it. It's just a free for all. It was never designed to do what it was supposed to do, which was to close the achievement gap, to prevent, to stop the schools from closing. Because once the schools are failing, they have to close. And so, the point of testing the students was so that the students could improve their test scores, and then the schools don't close. Well, they've now closed half the schools in the city of Columbus.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's ridiculous, because parents have been very angry, and they have no idea that the reason their schools were closed is because they're failing schools, but they never gave their children the help. And the only reason you get Title I funds is if you have local income students. Otherwise, you don't get Title I funds for your school.
So it sounds like these funds were meant to, or they were proclaimed that they are going to close the achievement gap, but instead the result has been an incredible amount of public schools closing in Columbus. You're saying about half.
Correct. And corruption.
And corruption.
Yeah, that's about $1,700 per child when I saw the numbers.
And well, actually, it's up to $2,100 this
year.
So
it keeps rising every year.
It keeps rising
and,
every year.
You could have kept a lot of schools open, and you could have hired a lot of licensed teachers and professionals.
Right.
And helped a lot of students improve their achievement, because if you are charging reasonable prices, as you said, even $25 for, and they had $2,100, those parents could get tutoring all year long and many hours of it. At this point, the providers I talk to, at least for Columbus City Schools, they get this type of money of $100,000 to over $500,000, and they only have to tutor 9 weeks out of the year.
Yeah, and, you know, this money, if it was used properly, could actually employ a lot of people who have skills who don't have jobs.
Correct.
So there are a lot of people who are graduating from college. They're just trying to get out there. They're trying to get jobs, and they could get good teaching experience and actually pass on their knowledge and skills. Instead, this money is going to people who are probably unqualified.
And to read about it, go to the 40th anniversary issue of the Free Press. And if you got 3D glasses, you might want to look at the neo-psychedelic cover. Also go to freepress.org. and put in Kennedy Kent's name.
Look for hard copies of the Free Press in local venues and restaurants. This has been Fight Back with Connie Goodell Newton and Bob Fitrakis on WCRS 98.3, 102.1.